There's a lot of thought and conversation in the world about how teams should be formed, who leaders should pick to carry out specific tasks or goals. Organizations will often outline the attributes for ideal candidates when a role is open. In the last month, for example, we've seen dozens of new leaders chosen for government roles and heard why they are right for the job. There are all sorts of norms as to why people get picked and who gets picked for specific jobs. Decision makers will often look at things like experience and emotional intelligence, values, references, education about a particular candidate. And if that isn't enough assessment or doesn't give enough information, managers can use the elevator test, where they ask themselves, what would it be like to be stuck in an elevator with this particular candidate? Well, this morning, we're going to watch Jesus begin to assemble his team, the disciples, in Luke chapter 5. These are the people that are going to learn to do the things that Jesus does. And over the next few weeks and months, we'll see this group have conversations with Jesus. They're going to pray for the sick. They're going to watch Jesus go off alone to pray. And eventually, they will be commissioned by Jesus to go and make more disciples, to teach and train and empower people the way that Jesus did with them. And so, who do you think the ideal candidate for Jesus is? What are they like? Who do you think the Savior of the world would choose to work with? Maybe someone who's a good person or particularly devout. Maybe someone who has good experience and is successful. Maybe someone who makes good choices or has a relatively stable life. All of those seem like valuable characteristics to me to carry out Jesus's mission in the world. But this morning, we're going to see Jesus engage Simon Peter and Levi. And of course, as it often is the case with Jesus, we will find that who Jesus chooses and how he calls him to respond is another demonstration of the incredible kingdom of God. We'll start with Peter's story in Luke chapter 5. Here's what it says. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. They got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astounded at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Luke's story of Jesus in chapter 5 then moves to tell us about how Jesus healed a man with leprosy and another man who experienced Jesus' healing through forgiveness. And then in verse 27, chapter 5, Jesus chooses Levi. Here's what it says. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We have two different men here with two different stories. They move in different sections of society. One does honorable work, the other doesn't. They likely have different proximities to the teachings of Jesus, and yet Jesus invites both men to follow him because Simon Peter and Levi are both sinners, and they know it. Take Peter, for example, right? Peter sees his nets fill with fish, and he recognizes Jesus's power. He sees his boat begin to sink under the weight of fish, and he immediately drops to his knees in front of Jesus. Peter is standing in God's presence, and in that moment, he is aware of his sin. Not because of shame, but because the beauty of Jesus is so bright and so vivid that Peter sees his own lack of holiness and says to Jesus, "I am a sinful man." He makes a confession there. And Levi, well, Levi knows he's a sinner because everyone has told him so. Tax collectors were notoriously terrible to other people, and their presence caused others harm and poverty and danger. And yet Jesus makes it very clear who he chooses when religious leaders call him out for commingling with these people. He says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus chooses sinners. Those who recognize themselves in need of divine redemption, like Peter did, or those who are ostracized by others and so stand in the need of gracious intervention, like Levi. Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And we know that true righteousness is one of the fruits of living in the light of Jesus. That's what Ephesians 5 means when it says to us, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So true righteousness is one of the fruits of living in the light of Jesus. But the pursuit of righteousness for our own gain, from our own effort, actually separates us from Jesus. Pride keeps us from recognizing that we are sinners in need of saving. That's what's happening here with the Pharisees. Their commitment to piety, to religious piety, is actually keeping them from seeing Jesus and following him right there in front of them. Jesus invites sinners onto his team. That's who he's assembling to work with. And that is such good news because we are all a bunch of sinners. It doesn't matter how long you've been going to church or how much you give or how good you are, all of us, myself included, are in need regularly of Jesus's forgiveness, redemption, and love. Jesus does not pick the best or the perfect or the most qualified. Sinners, aware of their own poverty, are Jesus's people. And we often are so uncomfortable at the sight of our own sin, right? We run into, I don't know, a particularly dark or broken part of our life, and when we get there, we prefer to close the door, to walk away, to ignore what's standing there, especially if that moment happens in front of other people. But the longer I follow Jesus, the more I've come to realize that Jesus is not repelled by my sin. I am. Instead, Jesus walks towards my jealousy. He walks towards my greed. He walks towards my pride and resentment. And right there in the presence of my sin, he offers me freedom and life by way of following his way instead. I want to push Jesus away from my sin the way that Peter tried to warn Jesus of his own sinfulness. But Jesus is the one who presses towards us and calls us out of darkness and into light. And when both of these sinners have this moment with Jesus, Jesus makes an invitation to them. To Peter, he says, "You will now fish for people." And to Levi, he says, "Follow me." Which begs the question, What have Peter and Levi now signed up for? If Jesus's invitation is to follow him, well, where are they going, right? What's next? And as readers of the Bible, we watch Jesus's life in the world be framed by interactions with other people, where moments where Jesus's power and his care, his healing and his provision is on display. And so we often hear these moments where Jesus says to someone, follow me, as invitations towards mission. If Jesus is asking Peter to fish for people, and if he's asking Levi to follow him, well, it must be to increase Jesus's wingspan or his work in the world. And while that is part of it, we miss something when we only hear invitation to mission in these moments. Jesus is actually inviting Peter and Levi into kinship, into a deep formational bond of attachment and love. Jesus is inviting Peter and Levi to live with him, to know him, to be formed by him, to learn to do the things that Jesus does. Jesus loves Peter and Levi, and he wants to be with them. He wants to share his life with them. We are invited into that same kinship, into that same life with Jesus. That place, that bond where we experience Jesus's love, where we hear his voice, where we learn to do the things that Jesus does, where we learn to do the work of love, extending forgiveness, showing mercy, growing in patience and humility. Mission is the fruit of kinship with Jesus. It is not only an invitation to mission. And despite their individual encounters, Peter on the shore with Jesus and Levi in his tax collector booth, both Peter and Levi respond to Jesus in the exact same way. They leave everything behind and follow him. Peter parks his boat. Levi leaves his tax collecting booth. Their new life with Jesus has begun. And Peter and Levi's lives are forever changed on these specific days, right? On the days where they took first-time steps to following Jesus. But they will repeat these actions every day for the rest of their lives. Every day, they will be given opportunity and invitation to leave everything behind and follow Jesus. That's the invitation that's in front of us every day, to leave everything behind and follow him. Most of us don't leave everything behind in one moment, in one fell swoop. Rather, it's a daily conscious choice to leave behind old patterns and lies and habits and follow Jesus and what he has taught us in the day that's coming ahead of us. Just recently, for example, I found myself in this situation with someone where the longer the situation kind of went on and the more conversations we had around this particular topic, I realized I didn't sound like myself. Like, I could hear something was off in me. And the more I looked at what was happening, I realized that I was responding to this person and engaging in this situation out of old habits, like my old way of being, ways that included self-protection. And the more I was able to look at that situation, the more I realized that's not who I am anymore. In following Jesus, I've learned that my security and my peace and my future rests in Jesus rather than how I manage the world around me. But when I realized this was happening, I realized that I was still carrying my own way and trying to follow Jesus. So I had to go back, leave it behind, and try again. It's a daily choice to leave everything and follow Jesus. It's a daily choice to leave behind judgment and follow Jesus in loving our neighbor. It's a daily choice to leave behind lying and follow Jesus in speaking truth. It's a daily choice to leave behind self-criticism and follow Jesus in receiving grace. But that is the invitation in front of us as Jesus invites us into kinship with him. All of us, a bunch of sinners in need of Jesus' forgiveness and grace and redemption. That is the invitation that stands in front of us. One into a life full of hope and freedom and a deep attachment with Jesus. And our invitation here is to leave everything behind and follow him.